This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tobin, who usually sits behind these microphones, is now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Howdy doody. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. Tobin did 4 hours on Jimmy Butler, essentially, today. He hosts middays on our radio station here. He also has an amazing following on YouTube for his Miami Heat coverage and takes. Like, he has been ensconced in Heat Nation for years and years and years. So I'm at the radio station this morning for a meeting, and I'm kind of talking with Tobin during one of his commercial breaks. And I'm like, you know what? I think we need to have you on the show because I'm asking you these questions, and you're a wealth of info when it comes to this stuff, so yes. We bring him on. Hello, Tobin.
Hello, Hawkman.
So what do you think of what Miami got in return for Jimmy Butler? Let's start there. We could talk about the era and what it meant and the way he left, but for what they got in return for a very disgruntled player, what do you think?
I think they did okay. I think the way they've been going on trades lately, based on like the Terry Rozier move, I was fully expecting the Heat to give up 2 first-round picks to get Bradley Beal. So my bar was very low because I just wanted it all to end. And so, you know, they end up getting Andrew Wiggins, who's decent, fits in, you know, fits a role that they need. And then you add on top of it, seemingly they're going to get this defensive first point guard, Davion Mitchell, which will be right into what this team particularly needs, and they get a pick. So for everybody realizing that the Heat were kind of up against it and had the screws put to them, because Bradley Beal was so, you know, stuck that I'm not leaving, that the Suns got so desperate that they wanted to move Kevin Durant that it kind of opened up the door for another team to actually bid for Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I think they did okay, because I honestly was at a point where I was like, man, if the Heat could just get Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton and just clear their books, I'd be happy with that just to make this go away. They end up getting a guy who fits, I think, Eric Spoelstra really well in Wiggins. He's been a big contributor on a championship team, and they get a pick. So I think they did okay. I would grade it like a B.
A B, but could they have gotten an A? Could they have dealt with this differently? Could and Toby, I don't know, you know, I talk about it all the time. I think emotions got involved in this. Whenever emotions get involved, it's not a business decision. Could they have gotten an A if they dealt with the Jimmy Butler situation differently?
It's definitely possible, Crowder. Like, I think if they would have had the hindsight of Jimmy's going to be Jimmy if you don't pay him his money, that, you know, that he still can tap into that Minnesota Jimmy Butler of being super petty, that you probably would have been better off, just like, you know, other situations. Usually if you handle it quiet and early, you usually can get a better return. But, you know, he was still aging. There were still durability questions, and I do think that people had to know that they did have to pay Jimmy Butler. There weren't a lot of teams that seemed like they were willing to pay Jimmy Butler what he wanted. You just happened to get a very desperate Golden State team here who wanted to bring back Kevin Durant, who didn't want to go back there, and they want to do right by Steph Curry by giving him as much help as possible. So I don't know if they would have done much better, but I think not having to deal with all the headache stuff, like what's the value on that? Would the team have been in a better spot? Would they have not gotten blown out in certain games at home that Jimmy was clearly half-assing it? You know, I think those are definitely things that can knock the Miami Heat organization a little bit on the handling of all this. I don't know if they would have gotten a much bigger haul for him, though.
Well, if you go back even further, though, Tobin, so does this all start with the postseason press conference with Pat Riley? Is that the absolute, like, is that patient zero? And if he had it to do all over again, because I think Pat Riley, I don't think his ultimate intention was this. I think his ultimate intention was to maximize Jimmy Butler's effort, the way Tyler Hero, as he called out Tyler Hero as well. Do you think if Pat Riley had it to do all over again, A, would you agree that that press conference was patient zero? B, do you think Pat Riley mishandled it from that point?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Pat Riley's no stranger to challenging guys. I mean, he's done it, you know, to Dwayne Wade. He's done it to Goran Dragic, LeBron James, and certain guys it's gone fine with, and certain guys don't take it well. But I do think that there was a lack of patience left with the Heat because I think they felt like they had let Jimmy do a lot of things that other organizations, that they didn't let their other legends do. And you even heard Dwayne Wade speak about that when all this was going down. He goes, I can't believe what you guys are letting him do. And like, so what's the standard of the organization anymore? So they wanted to grab back at it. Honestly, I think patient zero more of this, if you really wanted to like take it all the way back, Pat Riley had a quote before last season and it described where the build of this team was with Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler and said, we're at the abyss. Well, there's no coming back from the abyss. And so when they got to the point of, we're not getting Damian Lillard, Damian Lillard's going to an Eastern Conference rival, that Eastern Conference rival is now sending Drew Holiday to our other biggest rival in the Boston Celtics, and you're the Heat and you're sitting here stuck in the mud, you didn't do anything, you then lost the battle with the Celtics. You know, you were in this tussle with them for years, very, very even, very, very close, and they beat you. They checkmated you. And so that was kind of my point of the question when I asked Pat Riley about the Jimmy comments where he goes into the keep your mouth shut. Was my question was, hey, do you guys think that if you had Jimmy healthy that you guys are actually there anymore? Or, you know, or do you think the gap's gotten too big? Now, I added in there that Jimmy had said those comments because Jimmy had felt that he hates Boston so much and he could beat Boston no matter what. But that playoff Jimmy wasn't there. You know, he was sitting home with a knee injury. So we'll just never know. But Pat Riley obviously wasn't pleased about it. So that definitely added more firewood onto what something that was burning. But I think this all really, it ended as it being a viable title contender once they weren't able to get Lillard last year.
Yeah, and Tobes, I love hearing you. I know your voice, so I love hearing you asking those questions because you asked the hard one, so I'll give you your flowers on that. But with Jimmy, to what you just said, with Jimmy, is he moving the bar like that for Golden State? Is he moving the bar like that? I'm glad Solana's not on here because he's going to argue with me all day about it. Like, Jimmy's a very good player. I didn't say Jimmy's a great player. So is Jimmy moving Golden State towards a championship? Because the West is freaking stacked, bro. Like, I don't know if Golden State plus Jimmy Butler is going to compete with the Nuggets, OKC. There are some dogs out there. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do if Luka gets healthy. Like, is he really moving the bar in the NBA with this trade?
I don't think that they're going to be true title contenders, Channing, but like if they have like a heck of a series that maybe they weren't expecting to win and they can knock off, you know, whoever they end up taking on, Minnesota and LA, somebody like that, you know, then maybe I think in the Warriors' mind it'll be worth it because they want to do right by Steph Curry. Like, he's already got four rings. I don't think they feel like there's any illusions of them, oh, we have to get Steph a fifth ring, but I don't think that they want his end of career days to be sad. And that's how that was going for Golden State I think the thing with Jimmy, though, that is not spoken enough, and I love Jimmy Butler and that he could tap into that playoff Jimmy, but I just think that the injuries and the ankle twists and the lower body stuff, it does end up taking a toll, especially for a guy like him who plays so physically. And so one of the things that you have to wonder and wonder about all this making a stink this year is, you know, he had already missed a third of the season even before all of the theatrics had started. So was he worried that if I go out there for a season with a Heat year that's going to go nowhere, you know, is that going to pay off for anything? I need to figure out another plan to get my money. So I think there'll be, you know, do I doubt that he could have a couple of great performances left in him? No, but one of the things about being the age that he is that can you do it for a whole series? Can you carry him like you did against Milwaukee? I think that's a tall task for where he's at right now.
And can you then now, you know, say, and it's hard after the way that he left in the last month or so that we've been living through this, but if you take your blinders off and look at his experience here in totality, because Crowder said he's not an elite player, he's a very good player, and if we're all in agreement on that, I read a tweet from Bleacher Report earlier, Jimmy Butler's time in Miami was special. First NBA Finals appearance since the LeBron era. First number 8 seed to reach an NBA Finals since 99. Led Miami as the first play-in team to make an NBA Finals. Led Miami to 3 conference finals in 4 seasons. Went to the second NBA Finals within 4 seasons. Can we all agree, putting aside the exit, he over-delivered during his tenure here?
Yeah, I don't think that's arguable. I think that, especially with the postseason success, you know, I think the thing that's weird about Jimmy is that he does morph into something when the stakes get higher. He never had a 40-point regular season game in Miami. Like, his high was 38. That's weird. That's weird for a guy who, like, you look upon as the face of your franchise. And we're guys in a league where we saw people dropping 50 points, 60 points, 70 points in a regular season. That just wasn't what Jimmy did for Miami on a night-to-night basis. But when the stakes raised and you had a Boston team that everybody kind of christened every single year, he was seemingly the only dog in the yard that could give those guys any type of issues, any problems. And they got to, you know, with him injured last year, they kind of got to skate willy-nilly to the championship. So he absolutely over-delivered. And it is unfortunate that Miami was never really able to make that final piece. It's unfortunate that Tyler Hero got hurt so many times in his playoff runs. It's unfortunate that in the 2020 finals, Goran Dragic's foot blows up and Bam Adebayo's arm gets ripped out, and you know that every single time that he got close, it seemed like boom, something was there to trip it up. Happens sometimes, you know. Sometimes, you know, you're Showtime Lakers. Sometimes you're the Buffalo Bills, and that's kind of what it feels like. Is Miami? This era is going to be known as a lot of fun and not expected, and people saying you have 3% to beat the Boston Celtics, and there's going to be a lot of what ifs, but the fact that you even have to ask those questions on Jimmy's part kind of speaks to the success, because nobody thought – people were mocking him that he was coming down here to retire after he left the Sixers. Like, it was an insult that you leave Joel Embiid to come to Miami.
And Tobes, and like 10 years from now, to this conversation, I love it got there here. 10 years from now, when you're a big star and you're on some TV show because you're way better at your job than Hawkman and myself –
like, what, miles ahead, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Miles ahead.
Yeah, the trajectory is stupid
you
for you.
You want to do tomorrow's show for us, too? Do you mind doing 8 hours tomorrow?
I think if we were Fireworks Hawk, we'd be called duds. And
no, we're sparklers, and he's a Roman candle.
He's a mortar, the boom, the big ones. But in 10 years now, Tobin, like, in my mind, when I think of the Heat, I think Wade. I think Shaq. I know the 05. I got down here in 05. I think LeBron, Bosh. Even Zoe. Do we look at Jimmy Butler like that? Like, I'm saying 2 final appearances, won the East twice. Do we look at Jimmy Butler like we look at Zoe, Shaq, Wade, Bosh, LeBron? I personally don't.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to be there just because he never got to the mountaintop. Even Alonzo Mourning, who gave, you know, so many great series and had so many heartbreaking exits, got to come back in a role and still get his ring at the end. And they set the standard of, hey, you know, there's the championships are bust. There's winning, there's misery. That's by their standards. But I do think that he's still going to go down as a very important figure in the team's history, because they were playing with Dion Waiters on gummies and Hassan Whiteside talking to koi fish. Like, it was still a very important. He's still a very important pivot point for the franchise's history. He had a chance. Like, he had a chance to get those, and they never pulled off. All right, Wade's banging his head against the wall here. After after Shaq's era was done, you know, they never were able to make that move. Like, they're like, all right, here's Terry Rozier, Jimmy. And so I get that anger from Jimmy. Like, you guys really, like, this is what that was the support I got. But ultimately, like, you do have to win to get statues. You do have to win. Like, he'll get his jersey retired, but I don't think that he's going to be on that level. I think eventually, because the way I look at it, Hawk, is I think LeBron one day is going to get his jersey retired. And to be honest with you, Pat Riley was a lot more hurt. I think truly was hurt by LeBron.
Yeah, but wait a second. But LeBron did so much more for the organization than Jimmy ended up doing. While I think Jimmy over-delivered and I loved the experience, I mean, they didn't win a title.
Understood. But still, like, in his era, like, Tim Hardaway's up there. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, even in his short, like, Shaquille O'Neal played like 1.5 good seasons for the Heat, and they have him up there.
Got a title.
I understand that they got a title, but is the standard just the title? Like, he got 2 games playing with Kelly Olynyk and Duncan Robinson in a finals game.
By the way, speaking of former Heatles that potentially could have their number raised to the rafters one day, one of them is on the move. The Atlanta Hawks are trading Cody Zeller.
Oh, no.
Anyway, whatever you were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought that was important.
I don't even know what I was saying.
Jimmy, there's no way they retire 22 in Miami. Totally.
I don't think so. I don't think. I think he over-delivered in 4 seasons, but, I mean, was that really rafters worthy?
But, Hawk, it's what I say. You've said this before. When you over-deliver, that means that you've done more than people expect you to do. But over-deliver doesn't make you a icon of Miami basketball. It makes you an
I agree. I wouldn't put his number up there. I wouldn't put Goran Dragic's number up there for many of the same reasons. I get why Shaq – I mean, Shaq revitalized the franchise.
Shaq had a resume before us.
And LeBron, you totally understand. To me, the barometer, Tobin, is a ring if you're there for 4 seasons or less. You know what I mean? If you're not a lifer and you don't get like that, I would have a tough time putting his. I mean, again, you're speaking.
Yeah, but he's also. Yeah, but he's also arguably, like, there's also arguments you could say that he's the 3rd best player in franchise history, and you're not going to have him up there? Like, that's kind of crazy. I understand that he never got over the finish line, but, you know, it's also, like, you're talking shot away from going to the finals 3 years out of 5, you know? Like, it's a really weird, like, he's
gotta a hit that shot player. If you want to end up in the rafters.
that's the ticket?
Hit that shot, man.
But he's the 3rd best player ever to play here?
You're saying the 3rd, not 3rd most talented NBA player to ever don the uniform. You're saying 3rd
most influential, most impactful.
Most important, impactful Miami Heat player?
Yeah, probably 3rd best Heat resume, like over a 5-year span. You're talking all-stars, all-NBA performances, 2 finals appearances, triple-doubles in the finals. You know, I mean, and you're doing it.
What are you saying? Wade, LeBron, and Jimmy Butler? Or are you saying probably 5 Jimmy. Seasons so LeBron doesn't even count?
I mean, LeBron obviously is an argument to be up there, too. But it's like you're talking about, like, if we're going to your game, Hawkman, you're going Mount Rushmore. Jimmy's not on the Mount Rushmore right now? With Wade, LeBron, Zoe, and Jimmy, like who's replacing that face? You think Shaq over Jimmy?
Shaq or Bosh?
I don't think so.
Wow. Dude. So what are we doing here? We're doing Mount Rushmore of all-time heaters?
Yep.
Ooh. I like
it's
this.
It's Wade and LeBron for sure. Guaranteed. Because that era was just, it's unparalleled. And then you have to pick someone from the Shaq. While it was quick, the Shaq era, but Wade's already up there, so I got to go Shaq. And then the fourth. And we're not doing like the, hey, Udonis, because you were a Heat lifer or something. We're doing actual like.
You can put, I mean, if you want to put Udonis on, like it's either, I mean, I think you got to put a Zoe over Udonis if you're putting Shaq up there, which is a ridiculous statement. But I mean, if you're putting Shaq up there, go ahead.
So what are you putting Tim Hardaway there?
I was going to say it's Tim Hardaway, Zoe, UD, Jimmy would be the third spot because I think we got the first three locked in.
But Jimmy probably had a better Heat career than Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Jimmy deserves to be there over Tim.
That's why Tobin is so good on the radio. I mean, yes, he's actually making us think. The smell that you smell right now is me and Crowder actually thinking. Our brains are working for the first time in 10 years on this show, and it's all due to Brendan Tobin. All right, it's Tobin, who are you picking for the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs, they're cheaters.
All right, not the exact answer I expected, but I'm picking the Chiefs as well, but I more because of the talent. I understand your angle as well. How are you watching the game, Tobin? How are you watching the game? Just with your family?
I will be at Leroy Horde's house.
Oh goodness.
Oh really? So you go somewhere? Yeah, I don't like to go out. I don't want anyone coming over, and I don't like to go out.
I will. Yeah, we've gone to Leroy's house like the last 4 years now.
Are you able to hear any of the game or the commercials, or does he just talk nonstop?
He probably pauses the mutes the TV so he can commentate it.
He is. He's better than Tom Brady, so I actually don't mind it.
All right, Tobin, go enjoy some time off. You've done enough radio today. We appreciate it, man.
All right, see you guys.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.